Let's talk a little bit about Shavuos. The Gemara in Pesachim, famous Gemara in Daf Samach Chesamid Beis, says, after discussing about a stira in two different psukim, one pasuk says that Yom Tovim are supposed to be Lashem. One pasuk seems to imply that Yom Tovim are Lachem. And the Gemara has a machlekes how to interpret it. Some say it's you have a choice every yontif. Either you could do kulei lashem, or you could do kulei lachem. You can make it a whole day of yontif, and let's say fast a whole yontif, but just you're davening, you're learning, or you could just spend yontif engaging in your own personal hanais and make it kulei lachem. The other says no, chalkeu chatzi lashem, chatzi lachem. You have to split it up, half for you, half for Hashem. Which is how we paskin, by the way. If you look in the Rambam, he gives you an exact Seder Hayyim for your Yantif. You're supposed to go to shul, and then you're supposed to come home and eat and then learn, and back and forth. You're supposed to divide the day between you and Hashem. But then, interestingly, the Gemara says, Hakol Maidim Batzeres Deba'inan Nami Lochem. When it comes to the other Yom Tovim, this is true. When it comes to Shavuos, when it comes to Pesach, we can have this debate whether or not it's Lashem, whether it's Lachem, whether it's a little bit of both. When it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees, Deba'inan Nami Lachem. On Shavuos, you need also to have Lachem. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to get a geshmak on Shavuos. You're supposed to enjoy physically the Lachem of Shavuos. Very interesting position the Gemara takes. And it brings a raya because it says, Aseres Lashem. And then the Gemara says, My taima yayim shenitna ba tairahi. You know why you have to be so happy on Shavuos? It's because it's the day that the Torah was given. Yayim shenitna ba tairahi. And all the Mefarshim, but I mean all of them, asked the following obvious question that we might all be wondering. Shouldn't Shavuos be the day that everybody's maida, that you need it Lashem? If it's a day that the Torah was given, I understand if Shavuos would be a day that we were given, food, if it was the day that the month started to fall, okay, I'd understand why you need Lachem. But Shavuos is a yontif that's celebrating Ruchnius, it's celebrating the Lashem, it's celebrating the spiritual nature of who we are and what our people is. So, what in the world is the Gemara saying that everybody is made by Atzeres, they need Lachem? What do you mean? Because it's the day that the Torah was given, that should be a day that everybody is made and need Lachem. Meaning, no matter what, you have to make sure to daven. You have to make sure to learn on Shavuos because it's the day the Torah was given. So, like we do, we stay up a whole night on Shavuos and learn. That's, I would understand, no one would have a problem with the Gemara if it would say that on Atzeres, everybody agrees to Ba'ina Nami Lashem, because it's Yom Shenitna by Torah. But to say that it's Lachem, to say that, it's the Torah was given, so therefore you have to eat and you have to drink, I don't get that. That's very strange. Very, very strange. There's a very famous Beis Halevi on this, other Mefarshim. We're not going to go into it. Today we're going to just say a simple pshat, but before we get to the simple pshat, and it's really Rashi. It's not my own pshat, but I'm just elaborating on what Rashi is saying, and we're going to get to Rashi at the end, but we're going to take a little bit of a detour. If I tell you Rashi right away, then the shmooze would only be 5 minutes, and we have to stretch it out. I'm joking. Okay, so here's what the aside of Shavuos is all about. What is Taira? What is this mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of Limud HaTorah? When a person thinks, when some people think about learning Torah, very often it's associated with something that is a chore. I have to go to Seder. I have to go to Night Seder. I have to learn. It's an obligation. It's a chiv of Talmud Torah. And, obviously there are people that might enjoy it, but personally, I don't enjoy it. It's like Greek to me. The Gemara is very hard. There's no punctuations in the Gemara. It's Aramaic. When am I ever going to need to know when a shar is nagach es hapara? Like, what do I need this for? I understand that I need accounting, I need physics maybe, I need, what do I need to learn Torah? Okay, so it's a mitzvah, Hashem wants me to learn Torah, I'll do it, but, you know, it's like eating my peas and carrots. I don't really want to do it. My mother's shtipping it down my throat, so I have to eat it, but I don't want to eat it. I want to eat ice cream, but I don't want to eat peas and carrots. I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was the summer, and I didn't go to camp, and I wanted to go out and play ball, and my father hired like a malami to tutor me. And we learned Mishnayos. We didn't even learn something Gishmak. It was like dry Mishnayos. And every day you would come to the house and I'd be learning. I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is not what I want to do. It's not, I don't find, you know, okay, my father's paying the guy and he has to do his job. He didn't seem like he wanted to do it any more than I wanted to be there. But, you know, that was like my first taste of like, you know, Mishnayos is like, okay, cram it down your throat, you got to learn. And so you're learning, and like, when is this hour going to be up already? When is it going to be up? And I think that some of us keep that further in life, and we don't find that the sipuk, the geshmak, the simcha that everybody's talking about Torah. But, you know, we do it. It's a mitzvah, so I go to Seder. I have to do Seder from, you know, 9 to 12, so I do it. Check that box, come back night Seder, hopefully, maybe second Seder if I'm really good. And that is the way that my relationship with Torah is. And when we hear the terms Yegia and Amelus, that doesn't help matters either, right? Everyone's talking about Yegias HaTorah, Amelus HaTorah, the Oil HaTorah. Like, I don't want to do something that's a pain. I don't want to do, it's a lot more geschmack to go back to my room and to play, some video games that are I really, really enjoy. And there's no yegia involved there, no amelus there. It's just pure pleasure than to sit by a gemara and have amelus and have yegia and haravanya and all these terms that like just scare me away. You know, there's a story about Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector that he was once learning in the Beis Medrash, in his Beis Medrash, and outside there were two yidden that were working very hard. Whatever they were doing, they were digging maybe something outside, or they were doing some very menial labor, and, you know, they looked inside the Beis Medrash, they saw Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan sitting and learning the Kavna Rav, the great Kavna Rav, the Gain of the Dar, and the window was open, so Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was able to hear what they were saying, and he said, one was saying to the other, one of these workers schwitzing out in the sun, said to the other, wow, you know, it must be nice to be the rabbi. As he gets to sit and learn in a Beis Medrash all day, and he doesn't have to be out in the sun, he doesn't have to sweat, he doesn't have to get a hernia, he doesn't have to get, you know, calluses on his fingers from all the digging that we're doing. He gets to sit, Baruch Hashem, he's the Rav, he gets to sit nicely in the Beis Medrash, he gets paid for it to boot. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan heard this, he goes outside, and he says to these two fellows, listen, I heard what you said, and how about this? I'll make you an offer. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., you come into the Beis Medrash, and you sit and learn the whole day, like I'm sitting and learning, and I'll pay you. How much do you get paid to be a ditch digger here? Oh, we get paid, $5 an hour. So it's fine. I'll pay you both $5 an hour, and you sit and learn the whole day. Deal? It's a deal. Okay, that's amazing. The next morning, they show up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, you know, what are you going to be learning today? One says, I don't know, I'm going to try my hand at, maybe I'll learn say Tillim a little bit, then maybe I'll try to learn a little Mishnayos. The other one says he's going to, you know, start with Sena Arena, and then he's going to work his way up to something else. And so, okay, fine, very good. You know, Yishvi Matzich, I have to go somewhere, I have a meeting. I'll be back later. He comes back about a half an hour later, an hour later, and these two ditch diggers were like back outside digging their ditches. So he sticks his head out the window. He says, you know, what happened to you guys? Well, you know, where'd you go? They said, Rabbi, you know, kol hakavod to you. It's nice to be able for you to learn. That's good. We're not learners. We're just going to do our job out here. You can pay us all the money in the world. We're not gonna be able to sit in the basement and learn. For some people, learning is a very big chore. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing at all to be able to sit and learn. But the truth of the matter is that people that really understand how to learn, what learning is, the right approach to learning, the right hashkafa about learning, if you really get that, you will be the happiest person on the planet. There is no one in the world that will be happier than you. You know, the Rambam, at the end of Hilchas Lulav, says, "V'ein ha-gedula v'akavod el l'smeach l'fnei Hashem." There is no such thing, there's no greater honor, and there's no greater joy than to rejoice in the presence of Hashem. He's talking about Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But he's saying a general statement that there's no greater honor or pleasure or joy in the world, in the universe, than to rejoice in front of Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. Rav Shach says, every time I learn this Rambam, I think of a Medrash in Kehelas. The Medrash in Kehelas says that when it says in Kehelas, Havel Havalim Amar Kehelas, Kehelas was Kaira Tagar. He basically complained about the whole world. It's an amazing thing. Kehelas, basically most of Kehelas, is talking about how this world is futile. It's nothing. It's all a joke. It's a waste of time. It's all people schwitzing for no reason, people spinning their wheels and going around in circles again and again, doing the same thing over and over again, and then you die. Every day going to work, and then, you know, when it's all over, you die, and all the money that you worked so hard for goes to some kids. You have to leave it over to kids that may not even have liked you, they weren't nice to you, and that's your life. Basically, you worked for other people or somebody else, or the government took it, most of it after you died, the estate taxes and the death tax. Basically, you worked your whole life for nothing, for the U.S. government. You worked your whole life for some kids that are spoiled and they're never going to say thank you anyway. And this is Shlomo HaMelech. He said, the whole world is Hevel HaVolim. I tried it all. So the Medrash says like this. The Medrash says that only Shlomo HaMelech could have written Kehelas. Only Shlomo HaMelech could have written Kehelas. Let's say I would have written Kehelas. Let's say I would. You go to a Sarim store and you see, oh, Rabbi Bamberger wrote a book. What's it called? Great Jewish Kehelas. And you open it up and Rabbi Bamberger is just writing his pontifications on the world, and he says, you know what, this whole world is garbage. This whole world is nothing. Somebody would rightfully go over to me and say, excuse me, Rabbi Bamberger, I read your book, fascinating, you know, very well executed. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever drive a Ferrari in your life? No. No. Did you ever drive a Lamborghini in your life? No. Okay. Did you ever go to the south of France in your life? Did you ever have did you ever have a chalet in Switzerland for the winter and see the snow fall by a crackling fireplace? No. Did you ever, how much money did you have? Did you have enough money to, like, do anything that you really felt you should be doing? No. So who in the world are you to say that there's nothing in this world? You don't know the world. You never had a chance to experience the world. So what right do you have to make these statements that Havel Havalam Hakol Havel, the whole world is nothing? You don't know anything about the world. You're sitting in your little corner of Queens, and you're driving your car, and you're pulling it up into yeshiva, into your parking spot, and then you go home for supper, and then you go back to yeshiva, and then you come. And that's your life, so Baruch Hashem. But like, what do you know about the world at large? How do you go and say Havel Havolim? Until you've tried everything, you can't say Havel Havolim. If somebody, that's mamish, a gazillionaire, and that has everything that he could ever want, and actually has it, and tastes it, and experiences, and he goes, and he's Kaira Tagar, and he says, I tried it all, and it's all nothing. Okay, we'll believe him. But you don't have the right to say that. The Medrash says in Kehelas that only Shlomo HaMelech had the ability, the street cred, the credibility to write Kehelas, and we have to believe it, because he actually did it. He writes in there. He writes, Banisi li batim, natati li kramim, He says, I built houses for myself, mansions for myself, I planted vineyards for myself, I had ganim upardesim, I had orchards, I had gardens. He had 1,000 wives. He had, all the money was worthless to him. There's psukim that say that the silver was like in the streets. There was no money. There was no lacking for Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was not only the Chacham Mikol Adam, he was the Aisher Mikol Adam. And he says, I tried it all, I experienced it all, and trust me, this world is nothing. If Shlomo HaMelech says that, money in the bank, we could trust him. Says Rav Shach, when I read this Rambam, I get the same vibe. The Rambam is writing that Ve'ein ha-gedula va-kavod el l'smayach lefnei Hashem. There's no greater gedula and kavod. There's no greater great grandeur and honor than to rejoice in the presence of Hashem. Who wrote this? Who wrote this? This is the Rambam. This isn't from a chazal. This is the Rambam speaking himself. Says Rav Shach, you know the Rambam was? Do you know how much gedula and kavod the Rambam had in his life? You have to know personalities. You have to know who wrote these things. When I see a pshat in a sefer, I don't just say, wow, it's a nice pshat. I want to know who's the author, like who wrote this, and then try to figure out like how it related to him, like how he understood what he was saying because of who he was. The Rambam was the most celebrated of the Rishayim, for sure. I don't know if he was the greatest of the Rishayim, but he was definitely the most famous and the most celebrated in the world. He was the personal sultan of the of Egypt. The sultan of Egypt's, he was his surgeon general. He was his personal physician. And with that job came an amazing amount of kavod, because Egypt was probably the most powerful country of the time. So let's say I was the personal physician of the president of the United States. I'm the surgeon general, but I'm also his private doctor. And the whole world knows that Dr. Bamberger is, he's the president. That's a lot of kavod. And I get to fly in Air Force One with him. And I get to, all the newspapers, the medical journals are talking about me. The Rambam had a tremendous amount of gedulah v'kavod. Says Rav Shach, if the Rambam wrote, V'ein ha-gedulah v'kavod el l'smech lefnei Hashem, we could believe him. Because he knew a thing or two about gedulah and kavod. He understood. And yet, he said that, you know what gedulah and kavod is? It's not all the accolades that I'm getting. It's not the fame. It's not the fortune. It's not the reputation and and all the hospitals around the world named after Maimonides. That's not what is great in my eyes, says the Rambam. You know what's gedulah and kavod? You know what's the honor? The real honor, the real grandeur, the real fortune of life was smayach lefnei Hashem. Says Rav Shach, I trust the Rambam on that one. Trust the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that this is greatness. So you don't have to run. You don't have to like go. He's saving us a lot of time. Instead of being, instead of trying to look for grandeur and fame in other places, be happy in front of Hashem. It's so much simpler. It's so much nicer. And there you will feel the true gedulah and kavod. And I feel like when we want to discuss about Torah, it's a similar thing. Like, if I'm telling you, Torah is great, learn Torah, all right, I don't know who you are. Like, do you really have a geschmack in learning? How big a Talmud Chacham are you? But let's go to David HaMelech. David HaMelech was also extremely, extremely wealthy. He was the king, he was the melech. David HaMelech was obviously brilliant. Obviously, David HaMelech was multi-talented. He was able to write Sefer Tehillim, the most beautiful book of praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever written. And David HaMelech was a warrior. David HaMelech had a very, very fascinating life. But in a pasuk in Tehillim that's very telling, David HaMelech says, Lulei Sayrascha Shashuai, Oz Avadati Banyi. What is that pasuk that we're all familiar with? We sing it a lot. What does it mean? Lulei Sayrascha, if it would be not for your Torah, Shashuai, that I rejoice in, that I play with, that it's. Shashuai is something that, like a toy. The Pachid Yitzchak has a letter about why Torah is called a Shashua. We're not going to go into it right now. If you're interested, it's in Igris Uksavim of the Pachid Yitzchak. He has a whole maimer about what it means that Torah is a Shashua. But it's a playful thing. It's a joyous thing. It's something that you just do sheerly for the joy of it. If I didn't have Torah, that is my love, that's my passion, that's my joy, says David HaMelech, Oz avaditi ba'anyi. Then I would be lost in my poverty. Poverty? David HaMelech, who's speaking here? David HaMelech wasn't a poor man. David HaMelech didn't live in a refrigerator box and collecting coins on the street. David HaMelech was poor. What does that mean? Oz avaditi ba'anyi. The pshat is, and this is how Rav Aaron Cutler once stopped they were doing like a Ne'ilas HaChag together, maybe it was Shavuos, Rav Aaron Cutler and his Talmidim in Lakewood, and and they were singing Lulei Sayroscha, and Rav Aaron gave a clap, and he says, think about this a second, stop singing and think for a second. What does this mean? David HaMelech was the Asher Mikol Adam, and he's saying Lulei Sayroscha Shashuai, that if it wouldn't, I would be impoverished. I don't forget money. I would feel just like I'd have nothing in my life if not for Torah. Of course, I'd still have $1 trillion in the treasury, but that's nothing for me. I don't enjoy that. That's not what I get a seatbook from. That's all havel havolim. If not for Torah, I don't know what I would do. I'd be nothing. I'd be mamish wallowing in pity and in poverty. Because I would have no life. There's no one as poor as somebody that has nothing to do with their life and no enjoyment, no relaxation, no escape. If you're just working, 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 that's not a life. You need time for yourself. And what do you do with that time? David HaMelech says, what I need to do with my time, with my life, is to learn Torah. Because it's the only thing that's able to give me pleasure. It's the only thing that I enjoy. It's the only thing that has meaning. The end of the day, the rest of the life is just escapism, but it doesn't have any meaning. There's no reality to it. I could definitely pass the time away with video games and movies and YouTube and other types of things, but I die and then what? What's my life? What did I do with my life? When I learn Torah, I'm able to feel a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm able to feel the Chachmas HaBeir, the Chachmas HaTorah. I'm engaging in Yediyas Hashem. And there's no greater experience than that. David HaMelech had the credibility to say that. I might not have. You tell me, remember, what do you, who died and made you, the person that's going to tell me that Torah is Geshmak, that Torah, you're right. But David HaMelech has the credibility to say this. David HaMelech is telling you that whatever you might accomplish in your life, you might have fame, you might have fortune, you might have be the most successful, celebrated figure of your time, but it's nothing if you don't have Torah. Torah is a shashua, it's geshmak, it's what I want to do, it's all the only thing that gives me that true happiness. I could laugh, I could watch a video of a stand-up comedian and maybe I'll laugh and then I'll feel afterwards like I just wasted my time or that guilty that maybe it wasn't appropriate content. But I never feel that way when I learn Torah. Torah uplifts. Torah gives you a sipuk of the mayach. It gives you a sipuk halev. It gives you a sipuk in the neshama. And it's just beautiful, Torah. It's just brilliant at every level, whether it's Chumash Rashi, whether it's Nach, whether it's halacha, whether it's Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrashim, whatever stage you're at in life, people find beauty and joy in Torah. And if they don't have it, they don't say, okay, Baruch Hashem, there's no Seder today. It's Friday, it's a Tuesday. They're miserable on those days. I don't want to get off. I don't want a summer, 3 months summer. I want to learn. I need to learn. That's what I enjoy. What am I going to do with my time? 3 months, what am I going to do? How much basketball can I play over, in the summer? How much chilling can I do? And there is no end There's no limit to the stories that we could sit and talk about of Gedali Yisrael that had this simcha, that you saw it, you felt it. Rav Gifter was famous for having this like exuberance when it comes to Torah. And many times he'd give a shiur and they'd be working on a difficult kasha, maybe Kiveger, and they were working on the Talmidim and back and forth, and before you knew it, they were able to get a good teretz, or Rav Gifter was satisfied with it. And he says, what are we just sitting here for? Let's dance. We just were able to metaretz akasha. This deserves a great simcha. And they all would get up and they would start dancing around the room, singing the songs, I guess, that you'd make by, you'd sing by Yisiyim. Teretz Hashem Temima, Mahapti Sayresecha. He felt a joy. You saw on his face a joy when he learned Torah. It wasn't a chore. It wasn't something he had to do. We have to get through Shir. We have to get through Seder. We have to. It's something that they you know, Seder would come and go, and you still stay. You just, I don't want to leave. I'm not hungry. I don't want lunch. I want to finish the Rambam. I want to finish the Taisis. I want to finish the Rashba. I don't have an inch. I don't need to eat lunch today. It's fine. You know, it's interesting, on Simchas Torah, which is, I guess, the sister yantiv of Shavuos, in a sense, there's halachas about shikras. It's very rare that you find in halacha, you know, special halachas about people being shikr. But you find it on Simchas Torah. In fact, the reason why we duchen by shachris on Simchas Torah is because people used to get drunk. They would go to a kiddush after they got their aliyah or after they heard whatever it was, and then they would get drunk and they would come back by musaf. Everyone was shikr, and not everybody, but a lot of the shul was shikr, and you're not supposed to duchen when you're a kain's not allowed to duchen when you're shikr. You're not allowed to do your avodah when you're shikr. So there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to duchen by shachris instead of by musaf because of shikris. Very strange, right? Simchas Torah is not Purim. How did Simchas Torah become Purim? When did that happen? Why would we think that it's cool to be shikr on Simchas Torah? What does it have to do with a yanta? It's a Simchas Torah. We're celebrating the Torah. And I don't know the answer, but I wanted to be melamed zchus on Klal Yisrael that the emes is that Torah is shikris. When a person really understands Torah is meshaker with a chaf. Torah makes a person shikr. What does that mean, it makes a person shikr? There's a maisa with one of the Telza Rosh Hashivas, or Bloch, I don't know which one, but one of the are Bloch, there are several of them. And he used to say that, ich bin mit Torah, my relationship with Torah is like a shikr to his bottle of schnapps. He says, you ever see a shikr walking through town? He needs another bottle. He's like going like this. He's like looking around for a bottle. I need a bottle. Anyone have a bottle? They're addicted. It's an addiction. And he needs more. He has to feed his addiction. He says, that's how I am with Torah. Honestly, I'm addicted also. I'm addicted not Baruch Hashem, not to schnapps. I'm addicted to Torah. I need Torah. I don't have enough Torah. Just like a shikr never has enough. It's intoxicating. It's intoxicating. When your person is into learning, they don't want to do, they're just walking around in this beautiful bubble of chakiras and of chazaras and of yunim and of bikias. They're just like always, their mind, they wake up in the morning, and they have to wash negel vasei berachos up there really quickly because their mind is already racing and trying to figure out what they were thinking about the night before in Torah. I used to have a Rebbe, still my Rebbe, but he's a genius of geniuses. I don't want to say his name because it sounds a little funny what I'm going to say. He was like one of these super geniuses, the nicest, biggest tzaddik in the world, but he also was a shtickle, you know, absent-minded. But he wasn't absent-minded because he was like an absent-minded professor. He was absent-minded because he was always thinking and learning. He was always, his mind is always, he was talking to you, but you knew that he was really always thinking, you know, at quantum speeds and learning. And so sometimes you would see him walking down the block and he was bringing pizza home for his family. He'd have a pie, so we carry a pie like this, right? he's carrying the pie as if it's like an attaché case. It's like he's holding it in a downward fashion, and like, you know, you don't want to see, I guess, what the pizza looked like by the time it got home. It'll probably look like an accordion. But, you know, what's pshat? He didn't know how to hold a box of pizza. He did. He started off right. But then he started thinking of the Rashba, he started thinking of the Ritva, he started thinking of Ramah, and all of a sudden he's like, you know, he's not in this world anymore. He's in the world, the beautiful, intoxicating world of Torah. He used to smoke, and it was famous, like he would put his cigarette in his pocket, and it would burn the pocket, but he just, like, he was absent-minded. His kid once, you know, had in camp, he had an ice cream cone, and he asked his father to hold it for the first and last time, and then later he came back a few minutes later, he had to go to the bathroom or something, and he says, Tati, where's my cone? He says, where's your what? He says, my cone. And they were looking all over for it. It was in his pocket. He put the ice cream cone in his pocket, half melted now. What's wrong with him? It's not wrong. This is halavai, we should all be that way. Halavai, we should be so shikr with Torah that we don't even understand what we're doing. I think that's why Simchas Torah, people get shikr. You know why? Because they know that deep down inside they want to be shikr. They don't want to be shikr with schnapps. They want to be shikr with Torah. It's Simchas Torah. They understand, every yid understands that that's where I need to be, but I'm not there yet, so at least chach, let me be shikr with something. You know, the greatest story, I probably said this 100 times just this year, but, you know, one time Rav Shach was walking through the Beis Medrash in Panovich, and he was holding, you know, a little girl's hand, and she was just walking with him, and it was very, so all the Avreichim, all the Bachram in Panovich, you know, 1,000 of them, they're all like looking, what's Rav Shach doing, like, what? Who's that girl? So one Bachar came over, is that the Rosh Shiva's Einiko? Is that his granddaughter? He says, who? He says, down. So he starts laughing, Rav Shach. He says, what's so funny? He says, you know, I was coming from my dira to the Beis Medrash, and, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the little kids have, for some reason, the parents give them permission to be crossed by total strangers. I don't understand that, but that's what they do. So, you know, so this girl asked me to cross her across the street, to walk her across the street. He says, I forgot. I was thinking about the shir. So I just kept walking with her, and here she is. She's in the Panovich Beis Medrash. But is there anything more beautiful than that? That's not a story. Like, some cynics are, oh, well, you should really, you know, get with the program. It's not safe. You know, okay, maybe that's true, but that's not the point. The point is that, you know, there is a lesson here that the people that have this shashuai of Torah, they don't want to do anything else but learn. And it makes a person happy, and it makes a person whole, and it makes a person, you know, complete. You know, I used to go on Tuesdays, Rav Shach gave a shir klali, and they were learning Nedarim in Panovich, and we were learning in Kol Torah, also Nedarim that year when I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I got permission from my Rebbe to go on Tuesdays to hear of Shach's Shir Kleli. So I take a bus, you know, to the Tachnei Merkezit, and then take another bus to Bnei Brak from Yerushalayim, and I would go to Rav Shach's Shir Kleli. I went there many times. And before Rav Shach gave Shir Kleli, he was sitting in the Beis Medrash, and by his shtender in the back of the Beis Medrash, and he was just learning, he was thinking, and I would sit next to him sometimes, just because, you know, I wanted to sit next to Rav Shach. And I was looking very closely at him, and he was learning, and he was literally drooling over his Gemara. He had such a love of Torah. You know, we say, oh my gosh, that ice cream looks so good, I'm drooling over it. To Rav Shach, like, it wasn't just like a figure of speech. He wasn't talking about it. This wasn't something that he was, I'm telling you what I saw. He was leaning over his Gemara. First of all, his Gemara, speaking of accordions, like, his Gemara was complete. It looked like it went through 10 wars. It was like every page, you know, we like to keep our Gemaras like perfectly neat and everything. And if anyone like ruffles it, we get crazy. You know, every page was bent and battered and ripped and torn. It looked like mamish, like a fat accordion. And he was sitting there and just literally drooling from his avas at Torah. He had a physical reaction, a physical love for Torah. You know, a Talmud of mine, who's today like one of the Chashuve Lakewood, he was mamish, unbelievable. He was unbelievable when he was here already. I think he once went away for Ben Azmanim, and he learned in an out-of-town kailo. And when he came back, when the new zman started, he came back. So I was shmoozing him. I asked him, what was your impressions of this out-of-town kailo? He was like learning there for a week or two. He says, Rebbe, he says, one thing that made the biggest impression on me, he says, the avreichim and the kailo were singing. They went to the shelf and they got a sefer. They were singing while they were looking something up. They were naturally happy. They were so happy, b'chedves ha-Torah, with that the joy that comes from learning Torah. And I think that's what made him want to go and dedicate his life to Torah. And he's been in Kailo for, 15 years already. And he's a tremendously accomplished Talmud Chacham. He wrote many kontrasim. But the joy that comes from Torah. If we don't feel the joy, that means that either we're not doing it properly or we're not doing it enough. But there is joy to be had in learning Torah. The simcha of Torah is the greatest joy in the world, David HaMelech teaches us, not me. David HaMelech is giving us this shmuz today. And he's telling us that lulei sayros ha-shashuai azvad, I can have everything in the world, but what do I have? If I don't have Torah, it's worthless. We live in such a materialistic world, and we think from the newspapers and from the magazines, and I'm not talking about the Geisha, I'm talking about, unfortunately, the Jewish magazines. They're the ones that are the biggest culprits here. They teach us that we have to go away every yontif to these exotic locations, and they teach us that we have to have human hair shetels that are $10,000 a pop, and they teach us that we have to, that we have to get a new kitchen every year, and they teach us that we have to get a summer mansion in the country, and this is constant. And people think, oh, okay, so I get it. If I'm able to really be successful, I'll be happy. But it's not true. This type of success, material success, only accomplishes one thing, that you're able to live a life without the stresses of finances, and they're able to give tzedakah. Those are the two hanois that you have for money. But don't think for a second that owning that fancy car and owning that fancy house and owning that fancy second house, an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, and a closet full of clothing, of suits and custom suits and hats, and that, don't think that's going to make you happy, because it doesn't. It's mamish havel havolim, Shlomo Melech teaches us. There's only one thing in life that can really make us happy, and that's the dvarim hanoigim l'neshama, the things that are spiritual in life. The time that we have to learn Torah, the time that we have to daven, the time that we have to spend at a Shabbos table, to sing zmiras, to sing at a tish, to sing at a mlava malka, those are the moments in our life that really count and that really make a person happy. The only joy in life is Torah. Without Torah, it's not a life. You have no life. You go, well, really? Tell me about it. What about all those celebrities, those athletes, those movie stars? They don't have a life. They're miserable. If you follow a little carefully, what happens to these guys? They gamble it all away, or they have a horrible marriage, and they end up in jail for something. They're on drugs. They don't have a life. Shockingly, the people that have lives are us. But we have to appreciate it. We have to really understand how lucky we are, Ashreinu Matayv Chalkeinu, that we're zeichet to have Torah, because without Torah, we'd just be spinning our wheels without any opportunity to ever be happy. That elusive happiness that we know is there will never be ours, because we never properly took a step back and appreciated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the greatest gift in the world, and that's the gift of Torah. And we get these moments that we appreciate it when we are able to, let's say we're working on a chabura. Let's say we're in a chabura and it's my turn to give a chabura, and I have to come up with a chiddush on the sugya that we're learning or about to learn. And and I'm working hard, and I'm like pacing back and forth with the Beis Medrash to try to come up with a mahalach that no one's gonna be, you know, able to pry open and to shoot apart. And I'm thinking, and I'm chazing, I'm going, or I'm talking to Rabbeim. Those are the most joyous moments of our life. Those are the moments that we feel that inner sipuk. We're able to, you know, think of a chiddush and write it down and share it with people. We're able to chazer something until we know it crystal clear. Those are moments that are really full of joy. And it's very hard to match that joy with anything else in life. You could try, spend your whole life trying, but it's just going to be a dead end. Don't waste your time. David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech saves us a lot of time. If you read Kehelet, you read Tehillim, you'll save yourself a ton of time and aggravation and futility. And now maybe we can get back to the question that we started with, that the Gemara tells us that Batzeres Kulei Alma Moedei D'Bina Nami Lachem. Everybody agrees on Atzeres Nidei Lachem. You need to have a simcha. You need to eat and drink. Why? Shouldn't I be learning Torah? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, D'Bina Nami Lachem She'yismach Bai B'maychal U'mishta. It's a day that you should eat. Eat your cheesecake and eat your meat and drink your wine and enjoy it. Enjoy the day. You know why? Laharis, to show shenayach umakubal yaim zel Yisrael shenasna tayrabai. To show that shenayach, it's very acceptable. Umakubal and gishmak, it's something that we want. This is a great day. Shavuot is a great day. Shenasna tayrabai, because the Torah was given on it. A person that doesn't like Torah, a person that doesn't appreciate Torah, Shavuos could be a Tisha B'Av, like we're celebrating the giving of the Torah. I don't like learning Torah. I don't understand why everybody's so into Torah. I don't get it. I don't like it. But let's say it's, you know, something that we really like, then you would make a big simcha because, you know, I get it. This is something I'm going to really celebrate because this is something that I want to show. And I want to show myself, maybe more than anyone else, that I really understand that Torah is the source of all joy in life. That there's no gedulah and kavod to be happy before Hashem. That if I wouldn't have Torah, I'd be impoverished. That a life without Torah is nothing. So a person on Shavuos, of course we have to learn on Shavuos. Of course we have to daven on Shavuos. But that's not enough. We have to do an outward demonstration to others and to ourselves and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is a great day. I'm so happy that we have Shavuos because it's a day that the Torah was given, my beloved Torah was given on Shavuos. Now, I'm not answering the question of how we get there, how we get that feeling of intoxication as we learn and that real sheer joy. And some of us already have it, and some of us are on the way to having it, but there is a lot to be said with how you get that, and chazara is a very important key. If you chazar what you learn and you really own it, then you'll love Torah a lot more than if you just learn it, and then the next day Shlomo Zalman used to say that, you know, daf yomi, but it's not just daf yomi, it's really everything, is like an etch-a-sketch. You know, etch-a-sketches, it's a thing you draw on it with like a magnetic, there's like a pencil, like a stylus, and it goes on like magnetic things, and you can color on it, or an etch-a-sketch is like you have those wheels that, you know, you could, and then what do? You shake it a little bit, and it's back to new. It's nothing again. It's nothing. You could do it all over again. Or when I was a kid, they didn't have etch-a-sketch. They had a little pad, and there was like a face on it, and you got to draw like a guy, a mustache on a guy, and a thing, and then again, you know, you lift it up and the guy's face is clean again. You could do it all over again. He says that's what daf yomi is. Daf yomi is you learn a daf and then you pick up the daf and then you put it back down, it's empty. Do you remember anything from yesterday's daf? Anything from last week's daf? No. It's just a daf and another daf and another. And it's depressing. I mean, they make a big simcha about it, and I'm also happy. It's a big thing to finish Shas, even to see Shas once, a big accomplishment, don't get me wrong. But unless you own it, unless you really know it, unless you have like a, you know, you're conversant in it and you're a bucky in it, it's not a joy. it's not so geschmack. What's the simcha? You did it and now it's gone. When you own it, and you own it by chazring it again and again and again, now you love it. Because yidia is ava. V'yeda adam es chava ishtai. You have to know something to love it. And that's how it works. The more you toil over Torah, the more you schwitz over it, and the more you chazer it, and the more you spend time with it, and you get proficient in it, you're going to love Torah. It will happen to you. It's inevitable. But you have to give it a chance. You have to be patient with it and with you, and chazer, and just do it more and more. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then, and daven, of course, you need Siyat Dishmaya to love Torah. And to be able to have the zitzfleisch to learn and the interest and the curiosity. But Shavuos is a day that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for giving me this Torah, for giving Matan Torah. Because without that, I would have no life. I know that the secret to my happiness, the secret to everything that I have in life is in the Torah. And now I have to learn it. But at least I know that everything is here. I'm not looking at Gayim anymore. I'm not looking at celebrities. I'm just looking at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us on this day. And by eating and drinking, making a mishta, simcha, singing, dancing on Shavuos, it shows everybody that this is something to be joyous about. This is not something that I'm dreading. It's not a Tisha B'Av Chas V'Shalom. It's the opposite. It's the most geshmaka gift in the world. And in order to really appreciate and enjoy it, we have to unwrap the gift. And we get that opportunity, Baruch Hashem, in yeshiva every single day. And I want to wish you all a personal Birchas Hedget, that you should all be Zeicha to Mekabel the Torah Ba'ava. You should have all of the Skulas HaTorah of all of the Talmid Chachamim that have shown us the way of how much there is to love about Torah should be Aymed Eslanu. We should feel that ourselves. We should feel on a daily basis Ashreinu Matayv Chalkeinu, the geshmak of learning. We should daven on Shavuos. We've spoken about this before, how it's the Yom HaDin of Torah according to the Shla. Daven very hard on Shavuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me be Matzliach in learning. Let me have the time to learn, let me have the brain space to learn, let me have the zitzfleisch to learn, let me have v'harei neina b'sarisach, open my eyes to the beauty of Torah, to the wisdom of Torah, to be able to mechadesh new things in Torah, to chazer the old things of Torah, and amitz Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us kol mishalas libeinu l'tayva, and amitz Hashem we should have a beautiful zman ma'an Torah seinu.